Today, our scripture reading comes from Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 13. And unlike the mistake I made by going to the wrong affirmation of faith just a moment ago, it is not a mistake that we have the same scripture passage as last week, all right? Just so that you know, you will have a fresh sermon, but we're using the same text and the same story, all right? And we've got one more week to go, one more week, all right? Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 13. And it happened that while Jesus was praying in a certain place after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John also taught his disciples." And he said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves also forgive everyone who is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation.' Then he said to them, 'Which one of you has a friend, and will go to him at midnight and say to him, "Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me from a journey, and I have nothing to set before him." And from inside he answers and says, "Do not bother me. The door has already been shut, and my children and I are in bed. I cannot rise up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not arise and give him anything, because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. And he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks it will be opened. But what father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead of a fish? Or if his son asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, in this moment, we come to surrender our hearts, our minds, and our lives to you. Speak a fresh word today. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. The Lord's Prayer has really been stirring and running around in my head over the last couple of weeks. I knew that today we would talk about verse 3, "Give us each day our daily bread." And just like in the story, but without the crisis of company, I called a friend to ask for bread. Matter of fact, I called Pastor Ted, all right? So I wanted, I wanted Pastor Ted bread. And said, "I need a fresh loaf of bread for Sunday." And Pastor Ted brought me a fresh loaf of bread this morning. And it has that aroma of fresh bread. Doesn't that look nice, right? And today I will enjoy some fresh bread, and I am willing to share. You come see me after second service. I need some fresh bread for that. I only asked for 1 loaf. I should have asked for 2, but I just have 1. So after second service, I'll be willing to share. Oh, and it smells great. And I was thinking today before I arrived about what bread has in common with a plant, right? So isn't that an interesting question, right? And wouldn't you know, as I was thinking about this, I rushed to my office, I get the bread out of the Ziploc bag that came in and wrap it in one of the nicest towels that I have. And I come to place it on the table, and I had been thinking about what bread has in common with a plant, and wouldn't you know that there's a plant on the Lord's table too? All right. I'm very thankful for probably Judy Bivens, but for this plant. Judy, is that, yes, she's shaking her head. Yes, I'm very thankful for your plant. And I have no envy that yours is more beautiful than mine. That was supposed to be funny. I have this plant or something related to this plant in my office. I have four plants, but this one is a lot more beautiful, right? And Judy's very experienced at this and a lot more than I am. And yesterday, I had gone to my office and the four plants, they were outgrowing their pots. And I needed to add some fresh dirt, and I've got four different ones, and they're a little bit different sizes, and I was taking them out of their pots and making a mess on my counter and repotting them into a bigger pot. And I thought about today's message. What does a potted plant and bread have in common? They both take the shape of their container. Right? So a potted plant, it will continue to grow in a small pot, and it will continue to grow, but it will only grow within the confines of its pot. The roots will go down, and they'll come back up. They'll go every which way, and it will actually strangle out its own life if it's not repotted into a larger pot. Bread, when you have put all the fresh ingredients together, it will take the shape of its container, the bread pan. And if it, when it finds the resistance of the sides of the pan, it will actually overflow over the top as you begin to bake it. It has that beautiful roundness on the top because it has not found any resistance at the top, and it just continues to grow as it bakes. I believe those images of a potted plant that is confined to its pot, and also the image of bread in the pan ready to be baked, is a powerful image as we pray, give us our daily bread. And I want to tell you why. I've heard sermons throughout my life, and I've read books on the Lord's Prayer. And when I have come to verse 3, when I've read Daily Bread, and I will admit that I have preached this too, that my focus has been on myself. And I will use verse 3 to limit the amount of bread I should eat in a day. I will use that same kind of rationale to think about daily bread, which is, you know, when I was in school, grains were at the base of the pyramid, so we were always being offered bread. I mean, all the cereal, we added sugar on our cereal when I was a kid. My kids don't know to do that. Don't tell them. Very rarely do they get cereal. It's usually on vacation when they get to eat it. And now with all of the knowledge that we have today, we have shifted things around. We have learned. We've grown beyond our understanding. And our food pyramid looks different today than it did in the 1980s when I was in kindergarten. When you think about prayer and daily bread, what kind of container are you, right? Are you the same container that you were when you were born? Are you the same container when you first accepted Christ? Are you still trying to practice faith in the same kind of prayer container that you had 10 years ago, 5 years ago? Has not God been growing you and maturing your faith? Isn't it about time to expand your pot? Expand your pan, the container that can hold back your prayers. And one of the most powerful images about how I was restricting my daily bread as it relates to all kinds of spiritual truths in my life is I looked to the story that immediately follows this example of prayer that Jesus offers, give me daily bread. He talks about a neighbor, a friend, who at the end of his day, when he had consumed all of his daily bread, has a friend show up at his house and he has no bread. What does he do? He finds a friend. He goes to a friend's house and he begins to knock on the door. He knocks on the door and he's asking, "I need 3 loaves of bread," Jesus says. Now, I want to tell you, I have read that and I have read right past it. But even in a meager sense, in a first century world, 3 loaves of bread is an abundance for 2 people. There's abundance already in this story. And because I have been focused on myself, because my container was limiting my ability to read this story, I had read right past the extravagant abundance of the ask. This friend knocks on a neighbor's door who has run out of bread and asks a neighbor not for 1 loaf of bread, not for 2 loaves of bread, but for 3 loaves of bread. And the friend who has already made his bed, probably in the living room floor with his wife and his children, he hears a neighbor knocking. Knocking on the door, asking for bread to be borrowed. And the neighbor says, "No, I'm already in bed." Now, let me tell you, for those few nights that our children sleep in our bed, which we have the rule that our children don't sleep in our bed, but you know how those rules go at home. I mean, they're there, but sometimes those rules are broken. And when my children are asleep in my bed, I don't want to wake them up. And what happens when you get up out of your bed, when your children are in your bed? They wake up. And the likelihood of me going back to sleep has just greatly been reduced, right? Here is this friend, and that's like a human truth. It doesn't matter if it's in the first century world bed or in 2022. That's just a reality that is true regardless of the ages. Here is this neighbor who has heard the knock on the door asking for 3 loaves of bread, for an abundance of bread in the darkness, in the night. And Jesus says that this neighbor will give the 3 loaves of bread, not because they're your friend, but why? Because of their perseverance. Because of their perseverance. Our children are going to go back to school. Our teachers have been back to school preparing classrooms for our children. How many of us would want our teachers, our educators, to give the least amount of knowledge to our children? That doesn't work, right? You want your educators, your teachers, to give an abundance, to pour out all that they know, to stretch the imaginations and the minds of our young folk. You don't want a teacher who teaches the least amount. You want a teacher that pours out everything that they know in their lives, knowing that though our children may not receive everything, but you want there to be an abundance of knowledge being shared, not just the least, not the minimum, but the maximum. When we're praying, "Give us our daily bread," how might that prayer change when we return our gaze not from looking at what is the least amount of spirit, what is the least amount of faithfulness, what is the least amount that it's going to take to be a follower of Jesus, and what is the abundance of God that God desires for us today? See, when you take your eyes off of what is the least amount for us, and you begin to look at God, God's story is filled with abundance. Not just for ourselves, but enough to share. Think about the neighbor who had a wife and children in their bed. That at the end of that day, they could have consumed all of their resources. But there was enough to be shared with a neighbor in need, a friend of a friend. As you pray and as you live your life this week, I want to ask you, in the words of Jesus, Have you been praying for the least amount in your life, or have you been praying for a daily amount that is measured not by our own expectations, but by the abundance of God? Pre-COVID, when we would do intinction, there was some science done between Roman Catholics and Methodists who had the most germs in their communion cups. Guess who had the most germs? All right, so imagine United Methodists who pinch off a piece of bread and dip it into their cup called intinction versus a Roman Catholic experience where folks drink from the same chalice and the priest wipes the edge. Usually it has sterling silver or something, some kind of metal on the inside of the chalice. So of those two different experiences, guess who has the most germs? United Methodist. Some of that has to do that we use grape juice and not wine, but that's not the only thing. But because as United Methodists, when it came time to get the bread, we have a tendency to pinch off the smallest bit of bread possible. We don't even have enough to dip into the cup. And I'm not saying this for everybody, all right? I'm just saying I've been a pastor. I've been serving communion by intinction for 20 years. I've seen it. We pinch off the smallest amount of bread and we dip our fingers into that cup. Versus those who share in communion with a common chalice. And it's remarkable that how all of that goes together, that ours have more germs than the other, right? Where in your life are you praying for the least amount of God's activity? And where are you looking for the abundance? I want to tell you, this year, as I'm praying for my children as they go back to school, I'm praying for their teachers to just be gracious and abundant with what they're going to share with my children. That this is going to be an incredible year. I'm praying for an abundance of God's mercy and favor over this church and our ministry. We had an administrative council meeting this week, and for the first time in 6 years, not because of a PPP loan or a government grant, but because of your faithfulness, coming out of the summer, we had $36,000 more in giving than we had expenses. And I want to tell you, for a church, that has never happened in any congregation I have ever served. Usually you spend more money in the summer, and giving is usually restricted in the summer. That's God's abundance working in your life, in your generosity. Thank you. Continue to be faithful and generous. Let's see what God can really do with this congregation as we continue to respond to the abundance of daily bread. The amount is based on the generosity of God and not on our limited pots. And so, you know, as a student, when you show up to the next grade, one of the best gifts a teacher will give you is they will look at you and they will give you a new pot, a new vessel, so that what you're learning can find a place to root. That when you're going into the third grade, second grade, expectations will no longer work. As you think about where we're going as a church and as disciples together, let's not put on the boundaries that we've carried with us in the past. May God enable all of us to see where we can grow in our love for each other and our love for God. In the name of the abundance of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen.